Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast, a podcast where we talk about all things embarrassing. We share our embarrassing stories. We share yours. You share your own. We love that too. We're here to laugh with you, cry with you, bring some levity to your day. I'm Katie.
And I'm Mary Kate.
Let's start Beat Red. How was your week?
I got you first
this time.
Okay, we can do a what are you watching? Because I saw, and we've talked about this before, but I saw Supergirl and I saw Masters of the Universe.
Oh my God, you did see them all. You are having blockbuster summer. That was my favorite comment that you made. You're like, I'm starting my own podcast.
blockbuster summer. Well, this is the first episode. Because Masters of the Universe was so funny.
I really loved it.
Yeah, it was like Barbie. It's a Mattel character, but it's the script is so smart and funny, and
it's supposed
they make
to be like
themselves.
Campy.
It's campy.
That's not what I expected at all.
Definitely cried at a point in it, and then it's like inspiring, and the acting's great. It's got a Idris Elba turns in a performance that's like fire. He's so amazing. And it's just they're all so good. So I highly recommend that. That is a shocker for me
because I have zero desire to see that movie.
I know.
So that's
well, you
that's,
can.
I wait. Know I don't like blockbusters, but yeah.
But I think Sebastian might like it because it's really funny. It's like Ragnarok. It's that funny. Thor Ragnarok is really funny. And I think you told me you guys watched that.
No, I don't know what that is. I was like, Ragnarok. What word are you saying?
Thor,
like right? Thor the comic book.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've never seen that.
You've never seen it.
I don't watch comic book stuff. I don't really like that kind of stuff.
No, but. I get it.
but you know, and I probably won't like it, but whatever.
Right. What about you? How was your week?
I have not watched any other movies besides Disclosure Day, but we are. Oh, are you watching House of the Dragon?
Ooh, yes, I love it.
I love that show.
It's so good, and she's so good. The person who plays Rhaenyra. Targaryen.
Yeah, she's amazing.
They are amazing. They are so like, I can't believe my eyes at how
good.
Yeah,
it's a phenomenal cast. Amazing acting.
Yeah.
And that's what everybody says that Erling Haaland reminds them of. Like, he looks like he's straight out of House of Dragons. Like,
yes.
He looks exactly like that guy. It's crazy.
That's crazy.
It's funny. But I mean, by the time this comes out, I don't know where we'll be with the – maybe it'll be over.
Still
the World
be going
Cup might
on.
Be over. It might still be going on. It might be over. I don't know. But maybe. I'm confused about how the matches play out because there's two games tonight. So there's four teams playing.
Right.
So there's going to be 1-1 winner, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's already a 1-1 winner. So you'd think there would only be one game after that because those two winners will play each other. But it says there's a third round playoff. So I'm like, is that – like, do they give the players who didn't win a chance? I don't know. It's very confusing to me. I don't understand it. how they're determining the final games, I don't get it. But it's, you know, I'm here for it.
I'm terrible with math. We can definitely talk about the final
too.
Match.
Yeah, my friend Sarah just sent me an Instagram reel that was like playing this like inspirational music that was like also like very melancholy. And it was like, please don't ask me about math. I've left that part of my life behind.
Yes, exactly how I feel.
Like, please don't.
Don't.
I don't have any interest in it. I don't want it. No part of it.
Never was good at it. To this day, suck at it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not great. But yeah.
How was your week?
How was your week? Trying to think of what else has happened. I'm about to start working on my office, which I'm very excited about.
Amazing.
I got the wallpaper. It is gorgeous. My friend Kate Pierce Vintage, if you follow her on Instagram, if you like vintage, colorful home decor, she does, you know, all of that stuff. We've been in the same space for, God, almost 10 years, and she's a sweetheart, and she just got a line of wallpaper that is beautiful, and I'm putting, it's like a chinoiserie with, it's like a beautiful yellow. It's not quite a chartreuse. It's a yellowy shade, but it's so pretty, and it is inspiring me so much. And yay. I'm trying to figure out my exact paint I'm going to do with it. And I'm putting it over a wall that I need to like fill in the. I don't know why I'm shiplap. It's shiplap. So with shiplap, that's like the panels, you know. So there's gaps in between. So I can't just wallpaper over the shiplap because it could, you know, go into the creases and not look great. So I have to like spackle over before I can wallpaper and figure out my paint. But I'm getting there. I'm hoping in the next month that's going to be done and that's going to be exciting.
So exciting.
Yeah. So I'm pretty much just focused on that. Finally finished my freaking bathroom, which I love the bathroom. I'm so happy.
All the effort was worth it. It was worth it.
It is. I'm really happy with it. And that's done. That is done. So yay. I'm moving on. I'm moving on. And I'm almost going to be done. Oh, I'm getting this. I'm very excited about this. Is you heard it here first. Hot news. I'm working with this company who hand makes custom rug runners. And so I'm getting for my, you know, your entryway is like the first thing you see when you open the door. I feel like it should be stunning. And I'm going to change mine up eventually. It's got this wallpaper that I would like to remove, but it has, it goes all the way up to the ceiling and it's upstairs too. So it would be a lot of work to remove everything and redo it. So I'm not doing that right now, but I'm working with what I have. Doing a gallery wall on the stairs and changing my black stair runner that's on there to be colorful and to match with the rest of my home. And I am so excited about it. I sent them the design. It looks amazing. So that will be coming. It probably takes a few weeks, but I'm very excited about that.
I love it.
So that is happening.
So creative.
Yeah, that's happening. You are just trying to think of what else? Not much. Just, you know, hanging with family, planning for summer, other trips and things to do with Sebastian and places to take him and, you know, going to the beach and all that fun stuff. What's your summer plans looking like? Do you have any more trips or anything fun?
No, but in August, my son's off school. So, and he doesn't start school again for a month. So it's going to be like camp Creary over there. And we're going to just get, every day is going to be full of something new, which I do not know about. But I want to do all the projects that I'm seeing like other parents do for toddlers on Instagram. I'm going to have like a creative, it's going to be like a homeschool. I'm going to have a creative time and just nature time, swimming time. Like it's just going to be, but I have to train for this. Like it's a marathon because I mean, we're going to be, I'm going to be in it. It's me and a three-year-old just in it all day. My praises to everyone who's going through the same thing and also who has more than one kid. My praises to you. You are genius.
I don't understand how people
warriors.
Do it. I don't. Yeah.
They're killing
but we,
it.
To be fair, you and I both got the lot of kid that is a lot, that is nonstop, that is nonstop. So we both got the busiest bees in the world. So there's some people that like their kids are so chill and
angels.
They like do nothing and they're just like, oh, I'll just read a book. I'll just
Book.
You know, I'll read a book. I'll just play with my toys.
I'll eat this picnic and watch the show and
our
just
sons
enjoy
are like
the
diving
show.
Off coffee tables and like,
like stealing people's food and running away with it. That's
it's
how my
non-stop.
Kid is. I'm like, what are you doing? I have to chase them all over the place.
Yeah. So it's a lot. It's a lot of, you know, your energy just laser focused. At the end of the day, you're like, okay, I didn't have a minute where I could not be on, you know?
Exactly.
It's like being that's so mentally exhausting.
And that end of the day comes at like 7:30 at night for me. Yeah. It's like, I'm going down. I'm going down hard.
Well, I will say by 8 years old, he started chill. I'm sorry to say
great.
It. And people are like, oh, my 4 or 5. I was like, no, that wasn't my experience for me.
Great.
It was like around 8. So I'm going to be honest. But yours could be different. But realistically, our kids are very similar with the way that they
the way they hang out. Yeah. Oh,
they're
man.
Curious. They are very, you know,
smart.
They're free, wild, smart. You know, like that's the vibe and it's awesome and I wouldn't have it any other way. But the mom, it's exhausting.
Oh yeah. He's a free spirit too. So he'll just walk away and you're like, okay, well, you're just going to stop eventually. And then he just doesn't stop. And you're like, oh, where'd he go?
He's in Santa Monica.
he just walked to the beach. No one's, I got to get there. So
he really wanted to go and that's where he went. But
exactly. You can do it.
Do you want me to kick us off? Do you want to kick us off?
You kick us off, sis.
I will kick us off. This first story comes from Cora and Craig D writes, I was in high school at the time and a bunch of my friends and I had gone to the park to shoot some baskets. Unbeknownst to me, my brother and some of his other friends had also gone to the park that afternoon. When they saw us playing basketball, they came over and started harassing us, forcing us to play a game against them. We really didn't want to play with them because we knew what jerks they could be, but they kept bugging us, calling us losers and wimps who were too afraid of getting our butts kicked.
No.
We realized that we couldn't get rid of them until we agreed to play, so we gave in and started up a basketball match with my friends and me on one team and my brother and his friends on the other. Gotta love a good old sibling bully.
I know, seriously, no.
Only a few minutes into the game, one of my friends threw the ball to me and I took off with it, dribbling down the court towards the other team's basket. At that moment, my brother decided he was going to get that ball from me no matter what the cost. He ran up behind me and proceeded to pull my shorts down, leaving me in just my underwear.
I hate this. I hate that.
Now, that day happened to be a day where, of course, I'd run out of clean boxers and boxer briefs, and I had no choice but to wear a pair of old tighty whities that I still had but hadn't worn in probably more than a year. Already thoroughly humiliated over the fact that my friends and my brother's friends had seen my especially embarrassing undies, I sheepishly bent over to pull my shorts back up. But before I could get them up again, I was thrown for a loop when my brother unexpectedly tackled me to the ground.
This is not okay.
This guy's such a jerk. You have like Biff for a brother.
Seriously, that needs to go away.
Using the fact that my legs were now sticking up in the air to his advantage, he grabbed my shorts, pulled them over my feet and right off of my body. He then bolted off the court and took off running, all the while carrying my shorts with him.
I mean, this is terrifying.
He left him in socks and shoes and tighty whities on the basketball court, which I'm picturing New York. Like, you know, everybody's outside playing basketball in New York in the summer. So I'm just like picturing New York with like everyone around. So like there's just people everywhere.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't know what to do. I couldn't just lie there in my tighty whities until he came back. I had no choice but to get up and take off after him.
And run after him, your tighty
whities. As I got to my feet, I could see that my brother's friends were having an absolute field day, pointing at me and laughing. They started making sarcastic comments at me like, "Nice tighties, bro.
I'd be
Don't
like,
you have any big boy undies?"
I would plot to kill all of them. Starting in that moment, I'd be like, "Oh, we'll see you in 20 years.
You've got your revenge book going." And they also said, "You're never going to get a girlfriend wearing those things." Even worse, I could tell my own friends were finding it hard to stifle their laughter. As they might, their attempts to suppress their amused smiles were not entirely successful. I took off running after my brother. Because it was a nice late summer day, the park was crowded with lots of people, which meant there were many pedestrians who took notice as I ran by wearing only my tight white briefs. Some of them looked startled, others seemed appalled, while others just simply looked at me and started cracking up. My brother's prank had already gotten extremely out of hand, and now I was determined to find him and get those shorts back. My brother made his way to a tree near the front entrance of the park. When he got to the bottom of the tree, he used every bit of his strength to throw my pair of shorts as far up the tree as he could.
I hate this guy. This guy is the worst type of person ever. I cannot believe
that. He's already pantsed you on the court in front of everyone. Then he steals your shorts and leaves you naked in front of everyone. Then he throws your pants up the tree so you can't even get them back. Like, what a freaking jerk. Like, it wasn't bad enough. He's like, I gotta just fully humiliate him. Like, it's not enough.
Oh my gosh.
He managed to get the shorts to land on a branch that was probably halfway up the tree or about 15 feet. I was horrified. I really didn't know what to do. My brother stood there just grinning at me, telling me I'd have to climb the tree myself if I want to get the shorts back. I wanted to throttle him right then and there, but there was nothing I could do to force him to get the shorts back for me. I had no choice but to climb the tree myself. By now, my friends and his friends had run after us to see what would happen. Again, my brother's friends continued to laugh at me and mock me, and my friends were finding it harder and harder to contain their laughter. Like, imagine what that looks like, though, his little tighty-whitey butt scrambling up the tree and, like, trying to get his shorts back. Like, it is, like, it would be hard at that point to not laugh, like, it's all around. True, it's just ridiculous.
Right. It's ridiculous. I would not want to sleep under a roof with that guy.
I know.
We might be brothers, but I'm not related to you. Like,
repercussion has to come. Like, you have to realize when you do something like that, like, you got to sleep with one eye open.
You're never going to have a brother again. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. All I can think is hopefully there's no skid marks, you know? But
yeah.
Okay.
God, that'd be worst.
As I start up the tree, more and more bystanders started gathering around to see what all the commotion was about.
Oh,
when they got to the base of the tree, they were shocked to look up and see my tighty whitey clad butt shimmying up the tree to try and retrieve my shorts. Aside from the fact that the tree bark was painful against my bare legs, the climb was also made all the more difficult by the fact that I could hear the various giggles, sarcastic comments, and taunts from the people on the ground beneath me. Fortunately, I had climbed many trees before, so I was able to get up there and retrieve my shorts with almost no problem. But my greatest challenge would be climbing back down and coming face to face with all of those people who'd had firsthand view of me in my humiliating underwear.
Oh.
I sat on the branch and put my shorts back on and then climbed back down. All I could do when I got to the bottom was push my way through the crowd that had assembled without making conversation or even eye contact with them, even though I could hear their mocking comments to me as I passed through them and I could see the big wide smirks on their faces. I ran home as fast as I could, vowing then and there I would never play another sport with my brother or any of his friends ever again.
Yeah, seriously. And also,
I hope you like pissed on your brother's face while he was sleeping. Like, that's horrible.
I hope that there was like, yes, that would, you know what, Katie? You
right?
Nailed it. That would have done it. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, I see what you did there. I get it. It sucks. Everyone in this crowd sucks. There are no heroes here today. I'll see you at home. And then that, like later on that night, your brother's sleeping, you walk right up to his face, you pull down your pants in those tighty whities still, and you whip out your dick and you pee all over his face.
But
and
it then sounds like up. His brother was pretty terrifying and he was scared of him. Yeah, so he just like took true. The L. He was like, if I do that, then he's going to do something even worse. So I just have to like suck it up. But yeah.
I mean, if I'm in that crowd too, I'm going to like help him. I'm going to like be like throw a towel over his shoulders and like get him out of the arena like an old, defeated boxer.
Such little like, meanies. Don't you worry. They're we'll get him all next like, time. Ha ha.
They're like sneers. What do you say to someone like that? Like, besides, once you get past that comment of like, hey, nice tiny waters, like, what else is there? Like, oh, your legs are kind of hairy in weird places. I don't know. Like, maybe get some more sun, guy. Like, everyone's trying to be so, like, conforming to the, that crowd.
They're like bullying this poor little kid.
That crowd mentality is.
At least
worse.
He got his shorts back. I mean, that's impressive. He shimmied up that tree.
That's what I would be saying down there. I'd be like, hey, how'd he climb that tree so fast? This guy's amazing. Maybe he needs to be a climber. I mean, I would be just trying to sing his praises.
Trying to give him a little confidence.
Yeah. That's a great story because it is a trifecta. You get pants, then your pants are pulled off, then they're thrown into a tree. Triple threat there.
Horrible.
Horrible. Okay, so this is from Randy in Illinois, right? This is a really good one, whoever Randy is. Okay, so it was a simpler time. It was 1982, and Deborah and I were both 17 that year. She was everything I ever wanted. I'd been in school with her for the better part of my whole life, and the year we were 17, she transformed in front of my eyes. We used to play schoolyard games. It was, one day we were making up dorky dances together waiting for the school bus, and the next day she was this curvy goddess signing my yearbook on the last day of school.
Ooh. It
well,
happens.
My crush was just that, crushing me in every way. I knew I had to tell her how I felt. I know, right? Because other guys were noticing her now. She'd gone from being this geeky, shy kid to this bombshell in what seemed like no time at all. I knew she liked romantic stuff. She told me she liked Fast Times at Ridgemont High and Tootsie, and I wanted to do something momentous to drive home just how beautiful and perfect I thought she was. Today, someone would film this and put it all over social media, ruining its value. In 1982, all I had was the great freedom of an idea and the will to see it through. Back then, you could bravely profess your love or turn cowardly away and run into the woods if the moment went south. I spent the last $100 of the money I'd made working at the candy factory to buy a guitar. I learned I'll Melt With You by Modern English and practiced
Hot.
Isn't that such a good
that's
song?
So cute. I love that song. Yeah,
I
that's
love
great.
That song to this day. The goal was to serenade her under her window at the beginning of summer. I asked
that's
my older brother.
So cute. He's doing a Can't Buy Me Love.
He's going to do it. Yeah. I know. I asked my older brother, my idol, who was home from school for the summer, what his thoughts were. Don't do it, he said. I didn't listen. Maybe he wasn't the hero I thought after all. In the summer of 1982, I had Steve Perry's haircut. Did you ever see Steve Perry from Journey? He's got this crazy mullet.
I don't know what his haircut is.
It's a major mullet. It's like really like wispy bangs and then a very long like flippy back. So, so this kid has this mullet. I spent 2 days scouring thrift stores for clothes to wear as I perfected the song. I landed on tight jeans that showed off my butt and a silk long sleeve shirt I planned on leaving unbuttoned mostly. I put the outfit on, went into the living room and asked my sister what she thought. And she said, whatever you're about to do, don't do it.
Oh, no. Everybody told him.
What did she know anyway?
Everybody told him.
Nothing of romance. That's what. The night arrived. I knew Deborah was going to be home because I asked her what she was up to later. I'm just going to be hanging at my house. My parents are out of town. My plan expanded. If my serenade went well, she'd maybe ask me in where we'd make out, and I'd ask her to take a good hard look at the man in love who stood before her. I drove to her house. I parked on the street and waited for dusk. I wanted her to look out her window and see me as the sun set and the warm breeze surrounded us. I got my guitar and put the strap over my shoulder and walked to below her window. I'd been over there a dozen times over the years, so I knew where to stand. My heart raced and my mind went blank. I began to strum and sing loudly. I closed my eyes. I opened them as I felt something massive slam into me, pinning me to the ground. It was Derek, this random hunk from school, staring down at me when I opened my eyes. I'd been tackled by Deborah's new boyfriend.
Oh, no.
Deborah stood off to the side, telling him to get off of me. I'll never forget the look in her eyes as I got up, confused. I said nothing as I walked away. I prayed to switch schools for my senior year, but I didn't.
Oh, that's so
sad. It's
pretty sad.
But you gotta say, like, I gotta say, that's bravery right there. If you,
that is.
If you feel it, if you feel something, say something, maybe. You could have, like, really changed your whole
world.
Did
they know that she, like, did his siblings and whoever else he asked know that she had a boyfriend? Because that would have been good information to share.
It would have been good information to know.
Don't do it because she has a boyfriend. Then it's like, okay, you know what I mean? Then he's like, I'll just bide my time till they break up. Because they will. They always do.
They always do. The boys of summer have gone.
Always do. Yeah.
But. I don't know. I mean, maybe something about that guy was like, he was a hopeless romantic and had done this before or something. I mean, who knows?
But poor babe.
I know. A little summer fling happens.
My next story comes from Cora, and Ron Scheip writes, I took a girl to a sock hop. Sock hops were usually held in school gyms. You take your shoes off and dance around in your socks to early rock and roll music. I was like, oh, that's why it's called a sock hop. I never knew that, because you dance in your socks.
I didn't either. My dad and my mom both went to sock hops.
I've so cute.
Details.
On the way home, we would stop at a burger joint for an all-American burger and fries and cherry pies and maybe a chocolate malt. Did you ever see American Graffiti? In those days, it was real. American teens actually did that. While walking my girl home, we walked under some trees. Those trees were full of twittering birds. Perhaps 1,000 of them. I'd never seen so many birds together in one place. That's when I got stupid. In the center of all those birds over our heads, I yelled and clapped my hands. What? Do you know what it's like when 1,000 birds poop in unison? It's not pretty. It's not pretty at all.
This is so funny. They just pooped. They didn't fly away. They were like, oh, this is the one.
1,000 birds pooped on him and his date. I hoped that since it was only her and I who experienced this, that it might just pass quietly. Wrong. The next morning, the entire school, about 4,000 students, all knew about it. She never went out with me again. She's like, this idiot was clapping and yelling at the birds, and they pooped all over my new dress for the sock hop. And I just got my hair done. I mean, you had to get, like, it was a big production. They were like, they like went to the beauty salon. They got the hair done. They got their
nails.
She had it all, and she was looking like Carrie at the
what
end.
But
in white instead of red. That's what I imagine.
That would have been a totally different movie if instead of Carrie getting like splashed with blood, she just got like a million birds shot all over her.
Yeah, how come she actually in birds the birds only attacked? They never pooped. They could have poop attacked.
Pooped.
That was a
they
whole other way to do
bit.
It.
Yeah. Hitchcock's like, we will leave the poop out.
That could have been another way to
that's so funny.
Get what you want.
I mean, I think he probably was like, you know, you sometimes have that one foot in like adolescence and that other foot in like, you know, you're confidently heading towards like Makeout City. But I love that just the instinct for him was just to be like, hey, birds, get out of here. Like,
I know.
To see what they would do. Maybe he wanted to like make that memorable moment of like, I'm that guy who stirred all the birds and the birds flew away from us. I don't know.
He just couldn't resist it. You know, he had that thought and was like that intrusive thought. He's like, okay, like this is what I'm going to do right now.
This is what I'm doing.
I'm acting it out. He didn't pause. He acted it out.
Yep.
And
you
that's
can
what
kiss. my kisses goodbye.
I guess he probably thought it would look cool if they all like flew away at the same time or something. I don't know. But that's
like he wanted to make the birds like emphasize his cool personality. You know what I mean? Like he wanted her to be like,
out of them, literally.
So cool that they flew away when they walked by. He was trying to make it cinematic so she'd stay with him. Opposite effect.
He failed.
Okay, so this is from Mindy in Los Angeles, and she writes, this is a secondhand embarrassment story, one where you feel it for someone who doesn't see it. One time, I was an assistant casting director and working on an indie movie. The movie's director was a famous actor who told me that his dear friend was coming in to read for one of the roles and that I should just be really nice to him. His friend's name was Miles. So I go out to the sign-in sheet and I see Miles's name. I look around. There's no one in the waiting area. All of a sudden, I see this guy with a cowboy hat and bandana wrapped around his neck, decked out in a full denim outfit, saunter towards me. He came out of nowhere. I'm not kidding. He comedically walked towards me slowly. It was like the sun was in his eyes or something, and he pulled his hat down over them, even though we were basically under fluorescent lights and no windows in a high rise on Melrose Avenue. But this fool was in a Western, apparently. He's got a toothpick in his mouth, too.
Oh, man.
What's up? My name's Miles. How's it going? You ready to do this? He asks. I'm like, do what? He's like, let's get this thing cast. And he walks into the casting office. Thinking he's just pretty confident and somewhat admiring it, I follow. Inside the casting office, it becomes clear that he's not there to read for any role. He's walking around the office and looking in the drawers of desks.
What?
He's taking off his hat and fanning himself with it. He's leaning against the wall and looking at the lights. I ask what he's doing, and he answers with a question. So, who are we seeing first? When I tell him I'm a bit confused that I thought he was here to audition for role of boxer number two, he says, oh, no. Jamie told me I'd be helping with casting today. I think this is a huge misunderstanding, but I went with it and let him sit in on the session. He weirded out every actor that came in that day. Sometimes he'd just cackle for no reason in strange places, and sometimes he'd interject these random notes that didn't make sense. Like, he'd tell boxer number two, who had three lines as it was, to read it like you're looking for a lost dog.
What?
Like, so I guess, how does that sound? If you have three lines and you're looking for a lost dog, you're like screaming it or something. Like, where
he just
are
co-opted
you?
The entire casting process. And she's like,
who
what?
Does that? The poor actors complied. I'll never forget one actor said, loved you in True Grit under his breath as he left. The session was 2 hours, and there were moments where we were waiting for an actor to come in, and Miles.
But you said
would,
this guy is a famous actor, this guy Miles?
The guy who's directing it is a famous actor, and Miles is his friend.
Okay. So he's like, the friend of a famous actor. He's not even an actor. He's just some rando that is in there, like, dressed as a full-on cowboy, telling, like, he's Stetsoned out, just telling people what to do. It's so weird.
I love that so much.
So weird.
So weird. The session was 2 hours. There were moments where we were waiting for an actor to come, and Miles would just sit with his arms crossed, chewing his toothpick in silence. After the session, I thanked Miles for coming and then called my boss, the casting director. I told her what happened. What the fuck? She said, having no idea why Miles was there and acting like that. It turns out the director didn't either. We cast that weirdo as boxer number two and called it a day. Even now, I sometimes wonder if Miles noticed he had no casting credit on that film. Like, it's like, there's so
Wait,
many
but
friends
they
of
cast
friends.
That friend as the boxer?
Yeah, I'm sure they, I mean, they
and that's what he was
to.
Supposed to be reading for, but then he just said he was sitting in on the casting session.
Yes.
I mean, but also, like, you're rewarding that behavior. I'd be like, well, let's find someone else. Like, this guy seems real sketch. What's happening?
Well, but I mean, you can't sometimes when the director is a famous person and they're like, well, this is the, I mean, like let's let him read for it, meaning like he can have this part, you know.
That's so weird. Okay.
But then he made her work for it.
My next story comes from Cora, and Love Knowledge Experience writes, I was in the bedroom getting my work clothes off, and when I pulled my underwear off, my cock was compressed and tiny, as they get sometimes. Anyway, it looked quite pathetic and embarrassingly small. So for a joke, I thought I would WhatsApp it to my wife with no caption.
Okay. That's actually amazing.
I know.
That's so funny.
So then Accidentally, I sent this photo of my shriveled up man piece to my boss. I panicked and scrambled. I jumped on the phone trying to delete what I had sent, but in my haste, I only deleted it for myself. I had no choice but to quickly call him and explain. The conversation went like this. Me, Dave, this is a bit of an emergency call. I just accidentally sent you a picture of my cock on WhatsApp and it was meant for my wife. Don't look at the picture. Just delete it. It was all shriveled up and I thought it looked really funny. So
this is amazing. That guy is going to instantly look at that picture.
At this point, my boss interjected with this. I am in the car with my mom. She's 90 years old, by the way. And my daughter. And you're on speakerphone. Apparently, his daughter was laughing while his mom just sat there pretending she hadn't heard. This embarrassing moment is now one of my favorite party jokes, but at the time, it was really fucking embarrassing.
That is amazing. That is gold standard for embarrassing. Right? That wins the award of the day. That is so funny, Katie. I cannot even tell you. The fact that he decided to send a picture of his shriveled up penis to his wife, and then he sends it to his boss accidentally, and then his daughter gets it, is laughing, but his mother is like staring out the window. Like
she's 90. She's 90, and he's on speakerphone. He's so like, don't look at the shriveled up pic of my dick I just sent you. Sorry.
As soon as that he comes on speakerphone, that's like him blaring it like the horn right there. You can't not. She heard it.
And they all looked at it.
And they all saw it.
And they sent it to their friends.
Yes. Oh, my God. That's so funny. Okay. Well, my last story is actually happened to me recently. Oh. I was going to tell you in the recap of my week, but I didn't. I wanted to save it for an actual story. So my dad was here visiting and we were just looking for stuff to do. So we go to the Natural History Museum and there is a orca exhibit, right? It's like it's a killer whale exhibit there. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge exhibit. I mean, it goes on for like half of the bottom of this area. So we go and it's cool and we're seeing these whales and like they're, you know, it's really informative and it's pretty devastating in parts because they're like, this is what we found in this dead whale. And it's like, you know, buoys and basketballs and crazy stuff. So, but on the way out, I saw that they had these like little orca temporary tattoos. So I got a package, which comes with two, for my son. Mm-hmm. I was thinking like, oh, he'll like this. He loves temporary tattoos. Like this will come in handy somewhere. So sure enough, it comes in handy like a couple days later. He won't get in the bath. And I'm like, okay, like, let's do this, please, dude. Like, what do you want? I'm like that parent. I shouldn't reward him for doing things I need him to do, but like I do that. So usually it's like, I'll give you an M&M. But it's like it's before dinner. I mean
sometimes
bedtime,
you gotta bribe. I did it too, you know?
Oh, bribery always seems to work. So this worked and he gets in the bath and then I do temporary tattoos on me and I put it like right there, like right like sailor's arm, like boom, big orca whale. And he's got it on his arm. So then, like, the day after, we were at the splash pad, and I'm in my suit, and my son's in his suit, and we're, like, running, frolicking, and there's this guy off to the side, and he's, like, scrutinizing me, like, looking at me, and I'm like, ugh, oh, weird. But he's like, hey, are you that actress? And I'm like, what? Like, I never get recognized, so I literally forget. I'm like, oh, what do you mean? Oh, he's like, were you in that movie? And I was like, well, what movie? He's like, I was 6 when Free Willy 2 came out. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah, that was me. Oh my gosh, it's nice to meet you. What's your name? Oh, there's your kid. There's my kid. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh my God. And you have the
And he's like, and I like went so into it. I mean, because I get weird. Like I'll be like, oh, yeah. thank you for recognizing me. Like no one recognized me. I even forget it happened. Like, you know, and like crossing my arms and I see him like look slowly at my big orca whale tattoo. And he's
That's hilarious.
Oh, cool. And I see him see it and then he sees me look at him see it. And I'm like, oh, this is fake. Like this is, you could scratch it off. Like I literally went crazy. I was like, you think it's just fake. I didn't get a tattoo of a whale. I mean, just because I was in free age, I didn't do it. Like I overexplained and
you totally could.
I mean I made it weird. That's what was so
that's
embarrassing about it. He was like,
though.
Oh no, it's cool, that's cool, temporary tattoo, that's great.
I thought you were gonna say that he thought that you and your son got matching tattoos at his age.
That I made
and
my
yeah,
son
yeah he was like, how dare you.
That is so, I love he was like, how
dare you tattoo a three-year-old? You are a narcissist.
You guys got matching tattoos of Free Willy 2.
Of Free Willy 2, which came out 30 years ago, you psycho. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Yeah, so it was just like this perfect like storm of embarrassment. Like, it was like, oh, I just thought that was so funny. Because I've been very... that. Like cautious of ever having like orcas on anything. I don't know why. And so this was like a big blaring. Like,
loud and proud orca. I love it.
Loud and proud orca.
I love it. I actually have two more because I have one that's a quickie. So I'll just share them back to back.
Okay,
okay. So my next story comes from Quora, and Beatrice Zornick writes, I was at a party mostly with people I didn't know. I was about 17. A lot of them were cool and I wanted to make a good impression. I was actually dating one of these cool guys, Trevor, this amazingly handsome, tall, blue-eyed guy, very intelligent, funny, and even had a lovely Saint Bernard. Yes, he was that cool. I thought that was so funny that she's like, Saint Bernards are cool dogs to have.
They are.
I was a great catch, but boy, this guy was out of my league. I arrived at the party before Trevor, and I was keeping my eyes on the door waiting for him to appear. The room was full. I just, like, that took me back to, like, high school, like, college. Like, remember that feeling where you're at a party and you're just waiting for your crush to arrive and you're just, like, sipping your little red Solo cup and you're just, like, watching the door, like, when are they going to walk in? When are they going to be here? Oh, my God. When are they going to show up? And that feeling when they walk in the door is, like, the best feeling in the world, you know?
Yes. I love those moments.
Those moments. Anyway. The room was full, and after a while, the door opens, and there he is. Trevor! God, he was even more gorgeous than ever, if that was even possible. I rush over to him, trying not to run, just to seem cool. And then I jump in his arms and give him a big, wet kiss.
Ooh.
He doesn't reciprocate. In fact, he pushes me back. Behind him, walking through the door, is this amazing girl who literally looks like a supermodel, giving me a fuming, angry look.
Oh, that is terrifying. So they weren't dating. Trevor was not dating her.
I am shocked, confused, and completely embarrassed that everyone at the party just saw what happened. Turns out, Trevor had an identical twin, Mark. And you guessed it. It wasn't Trevor I was kissing.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that crazy?
So crazy.
At least it wasn't him rejecting her. Like, because we heard that story, remember, about the girl in McDonald's where she like jumps up on her boyfriend and he disses her for this girl that, like, from the past. It's and so I thought funny. At first it was going to be that. But no, she just was, whoops, kissing your identical twin. But I'm like, how do you not know or mention that when you're dating someone? Like, it seems like that would come up or they would go to the same school. Like, you know, that seems weird, but
that does seem weird, but it is funny. It must happen a lot though, right? I mean, if it's probably happened to them before, if they look that identical.
Yeah, for sure. But I love that she was like, he was even hotter. Like, oh, so he was the hotter twin.
That's why he didn't mention it.
Yeah. He's like, don't look at my brother. Just don't worry about that.
Just don't worry about that.
Okay. I have one more little quickie that I thought was funny. That. It was anonymous and they wrote, I was at the macadamia nut factory in Lahaina. There was a huge plastic bag filled with nuts. It was $1,000 worth of nuts. I decided to just hug the bag close to me with very little force, acting like I was gonna buy it. Suddenly, it split open and the nuts went rolling right out the front door. I ran out the door as fast as I could. And as I ran out, all of the tourists were picking them up by the handfuls and eating them. I didn't look back because I've never been so embarrassed.
That is crazy.
I love that they're like, ooh. I want this. And then it just freaking pops and goes everywhere. It's $1,000 worth of nuts. And the tourists are like just grabbing them by the handfuls and like shoveling them in before anyone can like take them away from
them. That is crazy. Your worst nightmare is, oh my gosh, that took so long. I mean, there's so many different like things that led up to that. The person who thought, oh, this is going to be a great display to like display them all at once. The person who's like, oh, let's get like maybe a little bit of a thinner bag and like not anticipating that it would and then just all the people who snatched them up and ate them.
Snatched them up.
Oh, that's so funny.
That's our show. We hope you loved it. If you did, please tell your friends, rate, review, and subscribe. That helps us move up the charts. And if you've got a story that made you turn beet red, we want to hear it. Email us at beetredpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to buy us a coffee, you can go to our Patreon page, which is listed in our show notes. And if you can't beat them,
join us.
Join us.
See you next week.